1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Ryan Kent faces a two-match ban after being charged by the Scottish FA for lashing out at Scott Brown. Steven Gerrard says Alfredo Morelos has been fined for his red card and must now look in the mirror. And no Uche Ikpeazu at Ibrox tomorrow, but he will make the Edinburgh derby. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Stephen McGowan and Gordon Dalziel.
Yes, Gordon, good evening. And obviously the Celtic Rangers game still taking all the headlines. I'm sure we'll get plenty of calls tonight. Still rumbling on about Sunday's exciting game and Celtic's victory, which obviously clinched the league. And look forward to tomorrow night, a full card, and then the weekend before the split. So plenty to talk about.
Stephen McGowan, it has been quite a weekend in Scottish football, as always, to be fair, but we've managed to surpass ourselves on this occasion, I think.
Well, you know, we say that, but that particular fixture never feels to disappoint in that regard. We can't be po-faced about it. I mean, we live for this stuff sometimes. What we don't live for is the off-the-field unfortunate incidents which are blighting the game and which have got people reacting in the way they have.
0141 951 1025. That is the number you need. And if you would rather tweet, we are at Clyde SSB. As always, bonus points for talking about the actual football. And we've got a full fixture card tomorrow as well, so we don't have too long to dwell on what happened at the weekend, because it's right back in about it tomorrow evening as well. So 0141 951 1025. The breaking news today, if you like, is that Ryan Kent faces a two-match ban. He's been charged by the Scottish FA for lashing out at Scott Brown. I think we're going over old grounds here, but let's remind ourselves of the way the process works. That can only kick in if referee Bobby Madden misses it, which he did. He's now been handed a notice of complaint. If he accepts the suspension, he misses tomorrow night against Hearts and Sunday against Motherwell. If not, then a hearing takes place on Thursday. Any surprise that he's been...
Surely, I mean, they looked like the most open and shut of open and shut cases. And the compliance officer had until 3 p.m. today to decide if she wanted to pursue it. She's decided to go for it. And I think it would have been a far bigger surprise if she hadn't. You know, I suspect that there will be a two game. He will miss the games against Motherwell. It would be the weekend.
Yeah, Hearts tomorrow and
Hearts
then Motherwell.
Hearts tomorrow, then it'll be weekend after, yeah. But I mean, he'll play tomorrow night, I would think, because the hearing is going to be on Thursday afternoon.
Gordon Dalziel, any surprise for you that that charge was handed out today?
Absolutely not. When we were at the ground on Sunday, Gordon, I think every official missed it, obviously, or Ryan Kent would have been in serious problems. No, the lad deserves his two-match ban, and I don't see any way they can challenge that.
0141 951 1025. Let's hear from Steven Gerrard. He says Alfredo Morelos has been fined by the club for his sending off, and the striker has shown remorse. He believes he's a top player, but only if his discipline improves.
I think he has showed remorse and accepted the punishment I've gave him. As representation, we've spoke to them as well. So everyone's on the same page, and now it's just a decision for the club and the people above me to decide where the fine goes to. But Alfredo's accepted it, showed remorse, and he's apologised. I think he put that public himself, which I think was the right thing to do. And we draw a line under it. You know, now moving forward, we hope Alfredo learns the hard way. And we wait now for him to return to help us in the final push. We hope he learns from it and comes back and improves that side of his game, because if he does, he will be regarded as a top player. If he doesn't, he's at big risk that people's opinion of him won't change.
Now, the Rangers manager also outlined today what the next steps are for Morelos. He says the Colombian needs to take a look in the mirror and think about what effect his decisions are having on fans and teammates.
One-to-one chats with him, with his people, showing him his behaviour, showing him examples of other people that have had similar situations, myself included, being there for himself to talk and ask, and using his close friends and allies in the team. I'll continue to support and help him. He's still our player, he's still a top player, he's still got an awful lot to offer this football club. But at the weekend, I had to be firm and stamp down, and I think he understands that. I think the other players in the dressing room understand that. I think it needed it. We've addressed it and we move on. In certain situations, you can empathise with any individual. individual, you know, the heat of the moment. It's an emotional game. There's a lot at stake for the supporters, for the players, for everyone involved. So people make mistakes. People are human. You know, it does happen, not just in this game, in any game where it's tense and emotions are running high. But when it happens as regular as it has, then you've got to do what you think's best for the individual, for the team and the club. And that's what I've tried to do.
Can I ask you what you did to kind of sort that out for yourself?
I had a good look in the mirror. That's the first thing you've got to do. You've got to basically accept your own actions and be responsible for them. Think of other people. Think about his teammates. Think about what his teammates have got to go through without him. Think about what the supporters have got to go through when, you know, the best player or the top scorer's got to leave the pitch with many minutes left and the supporters can't watch Alfredo for four games. So I think what you've got to do is you've got to think of other people and you've got to take ego and stuff out of it and think of others.
Come on then, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. What do you make of Steven Gerrard's take there on Alfredo Morelos?
It seems to be the same speech, time in, time out. If it was his second time, for instance, and I can understand, because until you play in these games, Gordon, you've no idea. You just completely lose what you're doing at times. There's people that can handle it and people that can't. Now, Morelos obviously showed he can't handle that side of it. I don't know if it was the pressure of, he didn't start well. I said that in commentary in the first 30 odd minutes. He didn't start well. He's not scored against Celtic. The boy's desperate for that. Now, we can all say he's a terrific talent. He's a centre forward that's been sent off five times. How many times is Steven Gerrard going to come out with this statement? If he wasn't an asset, he'd be out the door by now. And he's a lucky lad that he is an asset, because he is a terrific player and he can score goals.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Ryan Jack, before the kick-off on Sunday, Ryan Jack went over to Alfredo Morelos, put two fingers to his temples as if to say, keep the heat today, keep the heat. Took 31, 32 minutes for that to go out the window. And you look at Ryan Jack, who was sent off four times last season. Hasn't been sent off at all this season. Now, there but for the grace, but he looks like a guy who is learning his lesson. And that has to be the key, doesn't it? Do you learn your lesson? Alfredo Morelos isn't doing that. And I know that his representatives have been concerned for some time by the image Morelos is gathering. They think it's unfair in some way. Well, they must have had their head in their hands after 32 minutes the other day.
I think, Stephen, that he's putting the Rangers manager in a real difficult position, because he cannot afford to say, I'll tell you what, here's how you're going to learn your lesson. You ain't playing. That's not going to happen, because he's an asset. They see money in the lad.
He's also Rangers' best player in terms of trying to win trying to win a game.
Yeah, but you cannot keep depending and keeping your fingers crossed and hope he's learnt his lesson and he's full of remorse and we'll find him a week's wages.
Well, to be fair,
something
I think
something has to be done to get this lad sorted out.
But by the looks of it, this would be the first time there has been a fine. This seems as if there is now a change in approach. The thing about this would be, Stephen McGowan, if he is sold in the summer, Rangers fans are only going to see him three more times, because there's seven games left. He's banned for four of them.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that it's going to come out that Rangers are looking for Moussa Dembele money for Alfredo Morelos, £18 to £20 million. Well, if you are a manager in Germany, where we're led to believe his interests, or anyone else looking at Alfredo Morelos, you're thinking, well, yeah, he's a talent, but am I going to gamble that amount of money on him? And that is the problem and the worry for Rangers. Is he going to become a diminishing asset because he is letting himself down in the pitch? And it goes back to Steven Gerrard's core point. Is he going to recognise his ability and his full talent? Is he going to go to where he thinks he should go to if he keeps behaving like this?
Stephen McGowan and Gordon DL here taking your calls. 0141 951 1025. That is the number Douglas and Dennison's dialed. Hi, Douglas.
Hi there, how you doing, Panny, right?
Yes, Douglas, what's your point tonight?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask the guys, you know, obviously back in December, after the Old Firm game, Scott Arfield sort of mimics Scott Brown by doing a sort of trademark posture. And in my opinion, Scott Brown, he took that with a pinch of salt, just like the rest of the Celtic players. They went over to the corner, they thanked the fans, and it seemed like they went down the tunnel quite gracefully. I'm just wondering why 3 months later, after, you know, the sort of roles being reversed, why there's been an absolute outcry. You know, John Kennedy yesterday made the point that the game finished in that corner, so it didn't really seem like he had any choice but to sort of celebrate where the ball went out. I was wondering what the guy's opinion is on the sort of outcry now from people sort of just jumping Scott Brown's back.
Well, Douglas, I was at the game that you're talking about with Arfield, and I watched how Rangers celebrated, and rightly so. There was a lot of pressure on them. They wanted to win that game, close that gap. It was just so vital for them, and they celebrated. Scott Brown, correct, he took a bit of flack, but he's an experienced guy. We said on the show, I think it was his 35th Old Firm game, he knows how to handle this situation. And he wound Rangers players up on Sunday, and he waited his time. Now, what I will say is, during the game, I think Rangers players reacted to Scott Brown. And Scott Brown, to me, is totally innocent of, apart from a wee flick, which was absolutely nothing, totally innocent. I watched the game when the game's finished. Douglas is right. Scott Brown, when the game is finished, was in that end of the pitch. But let's not be kidded here. He celebrated towards the Rangers fans as well. But here's another thing for it. I'm not making excuses. When Rangers scored their equaliser, the full, Stephen, you were there, the dugout was out, and there was Rangers staff celebrating towards the Celtic fans as well. I said after the game, and it's very hard, Gordon, and I keep touching, boys will tell you that's played in this, emotion's unbelievable. Staff, players, managers, everybody on that pitch has got a responsibility. They really have, and I know it's hard. Scott Brown, I thought, could have easily got away from that situation. Andy Halliday shouldn't have gotten involved as well.
Well, should footballers noise up opposition fans after winning a game? It seems unnecessary to me. I think it's also the case that Police Scotland tell players before these games don't antagonise fans. However, there's a narrative springing up here, and I think it deserves to be challenged. There seems to be some kind of message coming out that, you know, if a player does this, he influences what happens in the city centre after the game. I just don't buy that. I'm sorry. You know, I accept that there is a responsibility, but spare me the stuff that if some Ned in the city centre has a loss of personal responsibility, is somehow the fault of a football player. You know, good luck to the accused who stands in the dock of a court and says, ah, well, Scott Brown or Andy Halliday or Alfredo Morelos made me do it. You know, it's on them. It's no one else. You know, Scott Brown took out a fishing rod on Sunday. He hooked a couple of whoppers. It was amateur dramatic level, pantomime villain stuff. But you know what? I think Rangers should be more annoyed that they took the bait.
Just generally, right? And I know we always struggle with generally because people want to criticise their opposition players and you know the way the rivalry works in this city. Overall, are fans now way more sensitive about this sort of thing than they used to be? Because I thought the Scottish football, there was a time, and again, please forget that it's Scott Brown, forget it's Celtic, Rangers, whatever. I just feel like there was a time when we used to pride ourselves on being able to handle this sort of thing, being able to slag each other and get slagged back and wind each other up. It now seems like we, across the board, we don't like it anymore.
Gordon, I played in my first one. I was 18 years of age, 1980-81. And it was at Celtic Park. And it was old days where they called the jungle where the Celtic fans were. And I'm as honest as I can be standing here. I was very fortunate to score after 5 minutes. And I ran over to the jungle to celebrate. And that's why I know, personally, you can get carried away with this. Now, I'm with Stephen here. I don't blame Scott Brown for anything. The only slight thing is the Rangers players and the Rangers staff celebrate. And we've all been there. Scott Brown had a celebration because it meant so much to him because of the criticism he took at Ibrox. People were saying it's his worst ever game. He's finished. You know, the criticism he came in for was incredible. But he's bounced back as the character he is, and he showed that. So I know what like it is to get carried away. And even in those days, I was very fortunate because something came out from the supporters thrown at me, right? And I realised then as a young player, this isn't just a normal game. The emotions of players.
Yeah, but the point that Stephen's making is that man or woman who threw that at you, is that not their fault rather than yours?
Yeah, it shouldn't have been thrown. But what I'm saying is, I was part of that running over there to the Celtic fans if they say, you know, I've scored against Celtic. But it's just emotions, it's everything that's caught up in it. And we will never change it. I don't care what anybody says, we will not change this because we've said it for years upon years.
I think to answer your question, Gordon, I think people don't want to take personal responsibility any longer. You know, everything is someone else's fault. Listen, if you indulge in unacceptable behaviour inside a football ground or outside a football ground, that's your fault. It's on you.
Thank you to Douglas and Dennison. We heard from Stephen Gerrard talking about Alfredo Morelos. Rangers fans, I'd love to know what you made of what the manager had to say today. Where do we go from here on in with Alfredo Morelos? Scott is a Rangers fan in Postle Park. What do you think, Scott? Hi, Scott, have you got us?
Sorry, are you there?
No worries, Scott. Hello. We've got you now. On you go.
Aye. I watched the Old Firm game, and I honestly see Alfredo Morelos. He doesn't seem to care about anybody bar himself. So me personally, I think you shouldn't play for Rangers again, and that's how deeply I feel about it. Because he's been gave chance after chance after chance. It's not once or twice. Is that the fourth or fifth time he's been sent off now?
Yeah, fifth, yeah.
He cares about nobody bar himself. And we've all backed him to the hilt. He's just not learning. And as for Scott Brown, I don't think Scott Brown was that wrong. This was done in football, isn't it? You've got to... He gives it out, so you've got to take it back. You know, you don't react to that, throwing elbows and everything. What was he expecting, you know what I mean?
Stephen, on Alfredo Morelos then, how difficult a situation is it for Rangers? Because if you keep advertising this fact, yeah, that he's got a disciplinary issue by not playing him, as if he's banished from the team, then that alerts other clubs to the fact that, well, surely you're going to knock a couple of million off
Absolutely.
The asking price then, so it's tough.
Absolutely. I mean, people talk as if somehow what happened on Sunday is going to influence the future of Alfredo Morelos. I think it was already set before then he would be leaving in the summer anyway, because he's a high-priced asset. And let's be honest, Steven Gerrard has a team more rebuilding to do this summer. Where is the money going to come from to do that? They have to sacrifice Alfredo Morelos to get other players in, and there's nothing wrong with that. But with regards to Scott's point, you know, you can't say to Alfredo Morelos, right, that's it, you're finished. You can't send that message out, because you rightly say, Gordon, they're looking for big money, them belly dollars, as we used to call it. They're looking for big money for Alfredo Morelos, and you don't get that if you advertise the fact that you are ostracising your own player.
And Gordon, does it really have an impact now? Like I say, we're running out of time. There's seven games left. He's banned for four of them. So by leaving him out the other three, does that really get the message home?
There's no chance he'll be left out there three, Gordon. He's an asset to Rangers. Stephen's right. I think that I feel sorry for Rangers, because I think Rangers behind the scenes have tried everything to help this lad. And I feel sorry for the lad, because he's a great talent. Everybody talks about how good a talent he is. But it's just unfortunate. Maybe Scottish football doesn't suit him. I think there will be buyers in the summer, as much as they will look at the fact of his discipline. But I think there's always coaches and managers out there that says, I'm the guy that can change him. I'm the guy that can change him. I think that Rangers will play him in the last three games. Hope he scores another couple of goals. And I think he'll be out at Ibrox by the summer.
On you go, Scott.
Yeah, it's not that his football's not my style. I do like him, but he's been gave so many chances. He doesn't seem to care about anybody else. So I would sell him, and the money we get for him, sign Ryan Kent if we could, you know.
Yeah, you can certainly see why Scott's coming up with that, because today Ryan Kent's now been banned. But that bit aside, he clearly showed what he can do in a footballing sense at the weekend.
The thing with Ryan Kent, he's shown he is a big game player. You know, if you take out the disappointing side of Sunday, I thought he had a terrific second half. Scored a really an excellent goal. Him and James Tavernier dragged Rangers up by the bootstraps. And he is obviously a very good asset. The problem with what happened on Sunday is that it advertises that against the best team in Scotland. And therefore, if you're an English manager, you're looking at Ryan Kent and thinking, yeah, you know what? He might be worth spending £9 million on.
Well, I'll go down to how Liverpool feel, because they'll look at this lad and think he's got an opportunity maybe the following season. And what normally happens, and we've witnessed it before up here, the big clubs, for instance Man City, will send their players up, they'll bring them back down, and then they'll maybe for another loan stick them out to a top championship side, because they look at the Scottish game as, well, they're not getting challenged week in, week out, especially if you're with Celtic or Rangers. So they might look to, I thought, I'm with you, I thought second half he was absolutely terrific.
Stephen McGowan and Gordon Dalziel here to take your calls. Get them in. We'll hear from Celtic's Callum McGregor next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. A team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
It's Gordon DL and Stephen McGowan here with me, Gordon Duncan, in tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're on the phones and we're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Alan is on. He says, no one blames players for crowd and supporter trouble, but as the stars of the teams, they have a strong influence on fans. Well-behaved matches reflect on fan behaviour afterwards and vice versa. We heard from Stephen Gerrard earlier on, accepting Alfredo Morelos, you know, the punishment, giving him a fine, but Angus is still not having it. I'm listening to SSB. I've never heard so much rubbish. If you are walking and someone clips your heels, what do you do to defend yourself?
Well, you certainly don't turn around and give them a smash, that's for sure, and put yourself into such trouble that you get a red card and let everybody down.
0141 951 1025 is the number on the phones. Willie's in Easterhouse. Hi, Willie.
Hi, Gordon. Hi, Hugh. You're sort of same age as myself.
Well, Hugh's not here tonight, Willie. It's Stephen McGowan and Gordon DL.
I think
DL.
You're meaning Stephen.
Anyway, I remember Dave Mackay and Billy Bremner, that photograph years ago when he grabbed me and scuffing out and said, hey, you, cut that out. Something like Scott Brown needed some of that on Sunday, I think, because I'm a Rangers fan, obviously. But I said, it was very grabbing his scruffy neck. Hey, you cut that out. That's my opinion for Sunday.
Well, listen, the game's it's a different era now. I think that's Willie's point, isn't it? It's completely different, and we're seeing that in the reaction to some of the incidents.
That's a great picture, isn't there? Willie will remember of Dave Mackay with Billy Bremner got him by the collar, and he's just, that was a different era. And you know, Willie, these things are refereed and there's cameras on everywhere now. You don't get away with anything now. It's a surveillance society in the live broadcasting era, and players have to either accept that or they're going to get done. That's the way it is.
And that's the point, Gordon, because like the tweet we just read out, you know, no one's saying that Alfredo Morelos or Ryan Kent can't react, but just react appropriately. Just react in a way that won't get you sent off, whether that's give Scott Brown a bit of verbals, let him know, you know, next 50-50, all these old things you used to hear in football. Just, you can react, but it just has to be an appropriate reaction that won't get you sent off.
We go back to the old days, and our game's that interesting, Gordon. We've got movie stars from America now talking about it. Vinnie Jones, ex-player, who quite rightly said, and I love the way he came out with it, he says, do you know what? I would have just waited my turn and then smashed him. And sometimes that's the way, I don't mean smash, but when it's a 50,
in a tackle, yes.
Yeah, go in there and show him that you're going to be part of the game, going to be strong, but don't react in the way, because Scott Brown, 35 Old Firm games, knows what he's doing, very clever, well done to him. Rangers players took the bite, and Ryan Kent is a very lucky boy that he was still on the pitch.
I disagree with Vinnie Jones, Gordon, enough to say. I mean, I think any response has to be measured, has to be controlled, has to be legal, you know, because a loss of control from Alfredo Morelos, it did Rangers no good whatsoever on Sunday.
Well, I think that what he was probably saying was, wait your turn, because it always happens, it always comes around, and there's a 50-50 there. Going is strong to say, look, I'm not taking the bait here. I'm not going to be bullied. If there's a ball there, I'm going to win it. Yeah, I'm not saying do it illegally. Of course I'm not. I'm just saying do it in a different way.
Let's hear from Callum McGregor. He's defending Scott Brown, as I suppose you would expect, but he says the Celtic captain didn't do anything wrong. He's been criticised in various places for winding players up and celebrating on Sunday. McGregor says, though, it's wrong to point the finger.
I don't think Scott did anything wrong. I think, you know, these wee, you know, tactical mind games, whatever you want to call them, are part of football. And, you know, and he actually never done a lot wrong. You see the Morelos one, he runs across the path of him and, you know, he gets that reaction. So, you know, people can say what they want about Scott Brown, but that didn't warrant the reaction that he got. And, you know, he was basically assaulted twice in the game, you know, for a bit of mind games and a bit of tactics. And, you know, that's nothing for anyone to speak about Scott and his behaviour. It's obviously the other side. With Scott, obviously, he's got massive experience, and, you know, that helps you in games like that. You know, he knows how to, you know, control everything, control the middle of the pitch, control the fans. He's so good at it. You know, he's the best. He's definitely the best in Scotland at it. So, it's somebody you want in your team. And again, I thought he was outstanding in the game as well. So, you know, to have somebody of that experience on your team, then, you know, it's ultimately going to help you.
Stephen, I'm sure you've heard this argument, you've seen it on social media numerous times, perhaps heard it elsewhere, that while Scott Brown perhaps didn't deserve a red card or anything for what he did, people are now saying things like he lacks the class of a Celtic captain from years gone by. What would your response be to those accusations?
I don't think Billy McNeil would have done that. I don't think Danny McGrain would have done it, but Scott Brown is Scott Brown. I mean, I think if you're looking at it, Rangers, they have to forget Scott Brown. Scott Brown is not the issue for Rangers now. He's really not that important. He's not going to influence the way the season's going to end now. You know, I mean, Steven Gerrard won't fixate on it because he knows there are far bigger issues he needs to focus on now. You know, the team haven't won for 5 games. You know, they've won 3 of the last 10 games. They've beaten Aberdeen in February the 6th. They lost on Sunday because, you know, poor defending for both goals. There were critical lapses in discipline. There are 2 red cards that mean, you know, that they're looking at more suspensions now with Ryan Kent, who could possibly have another 2 games after that. You know, and then you have the Alfredo Morelos issue. Rangers have big issues to confront, and I'm sorry, but Scott Brown should be well down the list of things Steven Gerrard feels he has to fix.
Thank you to Willie in Easterhouse. Let's speak to Jamie in Perth. Hi, Jamie.
How you doing?
Good, thanks. What's your point tonight?
Just a quick point, but just after listening there, I mean, teams all got players like that. I think maybe one of the things that maybe annoys a lot of the Rangers fans is that maybe Scott Brown and the way he played the game on Sunday, I know a few of them aren't going to like this, but this is maybe the kind of exact kind of player they want to have in their team, someone who is just driving the ball. Because am I right in saying, did Bruni not get man of the match as well, I think? But anyway, that's a side point. My main point that I was phoning was just to see, do you think now that Morelos has been given his fifth red card of the season, do you think that's him out of any contention of any player of the year awards? And also, do you think that we can hand out an award to someone who's had 5 red cards?
Stephen McGowan.
Really interesting. We were here last week. We were talking about this, the player of the year, and I thought Alfredo Morelos was a contender. He still scored 29 goals. I think the interesting thing about Sunday was that, me personally, and people will say I'm wrong, if you give me the choice between Alfredo Morelos and Odson Edouard, and this is the city we're in, we make comparisons all the time, I would maybe have said, you know what, Morelos' goals give him the edge for me, but Edouard on Sunday was terrific. I'm not saying he's going to be in the player of the year list, but, you know, Morelos, the trouble with every time this happens, he's slightly tainted and his reputation slightly dented. And that's a crying shame because, for me, the guy's talent, and to say anything other is churlish.
I mean, Gordon, if it's the PFA vote we're talking about, then the players vote for that. So we're asking you to try and get inside the heads of other people in that and judge whether their decision will be impacted by this. So it's not an easy question, but what do you think?
Well, I've been involved in the voting process when I was a player, Gordon, and I've got to say that I would never change my mind in a vote because of a player's discipline record. I would look at the overall season. I would look at what he's achieved in this season, and then I'd make my mind up playing against the player how I felt that he played. So I wouldn't look at, okay, it doesn't help you in your record, but I wouldn't look at the fact that Morelos has been sent off 5 times and let Rangers down. The lad still, take the 5 cards away, he still had a 29 goals in a return, and he's missed a right few games. Is not bad for a centre forward, so you've got to give him a bit of credit.
The other vote will be yourself, Stephen. The football writers will vote. Would that come into your thinking?
Yeah, I can always speak for myself. I mean, the point is, I think he's missed 10 games, is it, for suspension so far? I think that was a number I saw floating about the weekend. How many goals would he score if he didn't have these games of suspension? And, you know, my guess is that he would be good for a goal, and at least half of them anyway, you know, we're guessing, but. And then his case would be beyond dispute. If you're over 30 goals for the season, it's just a real shame. I just think it's really sad that a guy with real talent is, as Steven Gerrard puts it, not giving himself the best possible chance to fulfil his absolute every ounce of potential.
Jamie, you want to come back in?
No, I'm fine with that. That's answered it well. Okay, cheers.
Right. There we go. Very polite, short and sweet. Thank you, Jamie. In Perth, we go straight back to the football tomorrow, Gordon. I mean, if Rangers do decide that they don't want to accept Ryan Kent's charge immediately, he'll play, so we may not have to worry about his omission. Alfredo Morelos won't be involved, and that's a huge game because, as always, when we get a big outcry and a big fallout like the one from Sunday, the football stuff gets a bit lost. And I think Stephen mentioned it earlier on. Rangers have no wins in 5. Kilmarnock are 6 points behind them, so it's, there's no time to take your foot off the gas.
Yeah, and Kilmarnock, I think, if I'm right, host Hibs after a 5-0 thrashing off Hamilton, so they're in good form. They're 6 points behind. I can't see them catching Rangers, although Rangers have got difficult games because they then go to Motherwell on Sunday, which is going to be a real difficult one for them, minus obviously a few of their top players. I'm not surprised that they want Kent in the team tomorrow night. I think that, you know, in front of a packed house, probably against Hearts side, it'll come there and make it very difficult. We've gave all the stats about how many games they've won. Rangers need to start winning games, Gordon.
And there's no Andy Halliday, Stephen, of course. No. Barisic is injured as well, so there are a few issues for Stephen Gerrard to iron out.
Left back is the most obvious one. I mean, he does have John Flanagan, but you also have the intriguing scenario of Lee Wallace, the former captain, coming back in. He's barely played a game. You know, Lee Wallace is still part of the team. He's still part of the squad. He could come back in from there. I mean, Flanagan, unconvincing for me defensively anyway, and he's really fallen out of the picture.
I would find it amazing that we would see Lee Wallace. I think Lee Wallace has got so much to offer, but I think, what was it, about 50 minutes or so? I could be wrong.
Johnston at Christmas time.
Yeah.
Apart
from that, he's never been seen. So just to bring him in out the cold and have Flanagan there, who's played left back when he brought him up from, you know, down south, I would find it, I wouldn't be against it, but I would find it very surprising.
You look at Tom Rogic coming off the bench after 3 months out on Sunday, you know, and he looked so off the pace, it was unbelievable. Yeah. So it just shows you it's not easy.
Let's hear again from Callum McGregor talking about the Alfredo Morelos incident. McGregor says they all know he's easy to provoke.
Well, I think you can see, you know, his record over the season. You know, if people, you know, provoke him, you know, try and get in his head or whatever, then he's going to react. And, you know, I don't think that's any different in a big game for us. We're always, you know, trying to get the edge, whether it's, you know, football-wise or, you know, tactical as well. Then, you know, you try and get any advantage you can to win these games, because at the end of the day, all that matters is the result. You know, the players are, you know, they're professional footballers. They understand what they see in other games, and, you know, they're not stupid. So they know how to win games. There's different ways of winning football matches. And, you know, as I say, if you can provoke people or do things to get an advantage, then, you know, it's fair game.
Is that fair game, or does that, because clearly the reaction from some people, so that doesn't sit right with them?
As an ex-player, yeah, I do think it's fair game.
So as long as you
don't overstep
the rules.
Yeah, don't break the rules. And it's up to the player that, you know, you're having a little go at. You know how to press his buttons. And if he reacts, Gordon, you're the winner. As Scott Brown was standing there in the pictures all over the papers and on the TV, he's standing there smiling. If to say to Morelos, I've just caught you. I've got you a beauty.
Is it fair game for you, Stephen?
Well, it's open season in Alfredo Morelos. You know, yeah, I mean, Scott Brown isn't the first. We've seen Scott McKenna of Aberdeen. We've seen Kirk Broadfoot of Kilmarnock. You could argue what Broadfoot did was a bit more calculated than what Scott Brown did. You know, it's hard to prove intent in these things. But it's perfectly obvious what's going on here. Managers are inviting their players to go out with a fishing rod and catch themselves a whopper. And it's happening far too often.
0141 951 1025. Give us a call. We'll get to that next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Stephen McGowan here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As always, there are two ways for you to get in touch. You can give us a call on 0141 951 1025, or you can tweet at Clyde SSB. Roscoe says Gerrard will do everything in his power to keep Morelos. He's under contract. He'll score more goals next season, and if his temper's managed, he'll be worth even more. More importantly, he's needed to stop 9 in a row. Morelos is going nowhere, he says. Martin McLaughlin, stop the excuse that Morelos and Kent are young and learning. Big Ayer was booted in the first game by McGregor, was in at the heavy side of challenges on Sunday, but kept his cool, got on with it, and had a tremendous game. I said it earlier on, the football always gets lost after a day like that.
You know what, I thought Christopher Ayer had a terrific game on Sunday. Really, really terrific game. I mean, the highlights in the BBC were really telling in the last couple of months. Am I allowed to say that? Is that okay?
Oh, absolutely.
You have said it now.
Oh, well, too
press
late.
The button quick.
Too late. Yeah, it's out the bottle now. Yeah, I thought the highlights showed some terrific defending in the last 4 to 5 minutes. And it's not just strength, physical strength. He appears to be mentally strong as well, and he's really coming on as a player. and Celtic.
Yeah, the age thing again, I think people possibly do forget he's 20.
Yeah, and the one thing I liked about him on Sunday was right at the end with the tackle with Worrell, and what he showed, how much it meant to him. He wanted that. He wanted to make sure he kept that ball out the net. Where his strength, and I think you're right, Stephen, he's becoming a better defender. But where I think his strength is for Celtic, the way they play, it's the way he goes forward. And when he goes forward with the ball, he's very confident. He can pick out a pass. He looks comfortable on the ball. Whereas on Sunday, when you've seen, for instance, at the other end, Worrell coming forward, he panics, he gives the ball away and puts his team under severe pressure. I think Ayer at 20 is a real talent.
And Stephen, that's where I feel we always have a duty to talk about the football and remind everyone that we actually had a really good football game at the weekend. You've already picked out Ryan Kent as being a standout for Rangers. You've now picked out Christopher Ayer. There was a lot to like about the football.
Yeah, I thought Tavernier had a really good second half as well. You know, Celtic had good performances.
Before his mistake, I assume you mean.
Well, yeah. You know, yeah, sorry. But and I thought, but this is, actually, you touched on the problem with James Tavernier. Going forward, he's excellent.
Well, the goal was great, wasn't it?
You're driving Rangers forward when he needed to, but then defensively, he's going to get caught out. And you know what? Sometimes I think, when you look at the strengths of Rangers and where they're at, you wonder if they wouldn't try 3-5-2 sometimes.
And play him as a wing back.
Him as a wing back, maybe, you know, you could have Barisic as the left wing back, three central defenders, tighten him up a bit. The question would be, who would be, you know, who your two strikers would be, but could they play together? Morelos and Defoe?
Well, every time I've watched them, and it's not been that often, playing as a two strikers, they play very much apart. You know, usually if you play as a partnership, one will go short, one will go long, they'll work together as a partnership. Defoe and Morelos look like they're more comfortable playing as lone strikers.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying, because I think that Tavernier comes in for a hard time, a lot of, you know, with phone calls and supporters by his defending. He gives so much going forward. I felt for him on Sunday because it's an unforced error that really puts his team in trouble. But to be fair, Celtic have still got a bit to do. And you've got to give them the credit for a goal. But going forward, he's terrific. But we all know, defensively wise, he's not the best.
All right, what about these four games without Alfredo Morelos then? Is that a chance to go for Defoe and Lafferty together? Is that the way it has to be? Or can Defoe do the Morelos role on his own?
I don't know what's happened to Lafferty, Gordon. He
wasn't in the squad at the weekend.
No, you're looking for him and you look at Celtic's bench and you're thinking, right, they've got so many options to bring on and change it, especially in the forward areas. You then look at Rangers and you're thinking, Lafferty was brought in for games like this and he's not even involved in it. So once again, I don't see him just appearing out the blue. I think Defoe will get an opportunity.
Must be honest, I thought Lafferty would be a no-brainer signing for Rangers. I thought getting him from Hearts, he scored something like 19 goals. I thought, low risk, you know, possibly a very high return. He's been a real disappointment. A really massive disappointment. And I agree with you, Gordon. I just don't know if Alfredo Morelos is comfortable playing with another striker. You know, I think probably Defoe does need somebody to play off. So it would be really interesting if you could get in a situation where you'd Lafferty and Defoe try it out, see how it went.
Let's hear again from Stephen Gerrard. Says he's got no problem with Celtic celebrations, but he's told his players to remember them and use any taunts from Hoops players on social media as motivation.
That's all part and parcel of being involved in the Old Firm. Celtic are entitled to celebrate the supporters, the club, the individual players. It's fine. We haven't got a problem with that at all. We're on the other end of it this time. And there's one more Old Firm left that we're looking forward to, and we need to make sure that the result of that game is different to the one where we've just recently been involved in now. I've got no problem with Celtic celebrating.
Do you tell your players to ignore it? Or do you say, it's okay?
I know what I'd do. I know what I'd do. But we'll wait and see how my players, what they do and how they react from it. We'll see that on Wednesday night, first and foremost. But for me, it's important that they focus on Hearts and what's the next challenge, because we can't really control what's going on in social media or other people's reactions or how they celebrate. You can't really control that side of it. All you can do is look in, soak it up, accept it and move on and look to the next challenge. But remember it. But remember it.
Mark is a Rangers fan in Port Glasgow. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how you doing, panel? I think it's ridiculous that players are allowed to aggravate other players by either stamping down their legs, as Broadfoot did, or kick them in the heels, as Scott Brown did. Where do we draw the line with that? We're going to wait until somebody's injured beforehand and then investigate it? Because I'm not trying to defend Alfredo Morelos here, but just in general, I think that...
Just clear up what you mean by that, Mark. Do you think Alfredo Morelos was at risk of injury from what Scott Brown did to him on Sunday?
Maybe not with Scott Brown, but possibly with Broadfoot and the next person that's going to do it, because guaranteed somebody else is going to do it.
I think most people did actually agree that Broadfoot did did cross a line. You know, it certainly was different from the Brown one, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah. I watched it at half time when he was walking off the pitch. Broadfoot, you know, he was a bit naughty, I've got to say, and he was very lucky. But the problem with Morelos is he's now a target for players. Everybody knows how to press that button with him. That's where he has got to be strong and say, I'm not going to take the bait. See, you listen to the Rangers manager there. He's got the same mentality as what Scott Brown had. If he was a Rangers player, he would have accepted that on Sunday, walked off the pitch, and he would have waited for the next game. And he would have actually went out and done exactly what Scott Brown. He would have bossed it. He would have made sure he wasn't walking off. That's why he's trying to put it out to his players. Listen, let Celtic celebrate. They deserve it. They've won the game. Get off the pitch. Remember it. And then go and show Celtic that you're not going to be the same, you know, the same hurt as what we've just, what's happened to us on Sunday. That's the mentality of the Rangers manager. He's hoping that his players will have the same when it comes to next game.
I mean, Mark, so when we talk about sort of clamping down on it, whatever, what do you mean? So do you think Scott Brown, should he have been booked for what he did to Morelos?
Aye, well, we've got this compliance officer that, I don't know if it applies to the rest of Scottish football, but she definitely looks after Rangers games, so surely she's seen Scott Brown at the weekend.
But that's what I'm saying, it has to be a red card offence for the compliance officer to deal with it retrospectively for something like that. So was what Scott Brown did a red card offence?
No, it wasn't. But then, is Alfredo Morelos won a red card? Because it's not hitting him above the head, it's not reckless, it's not excessive force. So we've changed the rules so much that there's always going to be this argument there.
Steven Gerrard doesn't seem too fussed by it. Why do you think that is? He seems to agree that it was a red card.
Oh, well, it is a red card. But when the compliance officer with Morelos...
Mark, are you planning to make your mind up at some point, Mark? Are you just going to keep zigzagging back and forward? Yeah. It was either a red card or it wasn't.
Gordon DL, what do you do then? Was it a booking for Scott Brown? Is it enough?
No, I don't think it was enough, Gordon. I don't think it was enough for a booking, and I don't think it was really enough for Morelos to react the way that he reacted. He's let himself down, he's come out full of remorse, but Scott Brown was very clever. It happens in games week in, week out, to be honest with you.
Right, I think it's time for this.
Beat the Pundit. With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Time for Beat the Pundit, Gordon and Stephen's favourite part of the evening. 0141 951 1025. If you want to take them on and win a signed ball, give us a call and do it quickly. You only have until the news at 7 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Stephen McGowan and Gordon DL are here with me, Gordon Duncan. Give us a call, let us know what is on your mind. I know we're all still looking back on the weekend, but don't forget, we've got some huge fixtures tomorrow. So fans of all teams, because the top flight are all involved, get in touch, let us know what you're thinking ahead of tomorrow. 01419511025. This first.
Pundit. With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Well, this doesn't happen very often. The Beat the Pundit contestant has just disappeared. So if you want to play, call right now. 0141 951 1025. Call right now and you've got a very good chance of playing Beat the Pundit. The look in your face, Gordon Dia, we've just managed to
tell him Roger's not here tonight. He's got every chance of winning the ball.
Yeah, 0141 951 1025. Come on, callers, right now, and you can play Beat the Pundit. I don't know if it was stage fright. Maybe he was intimidated by you guys.
No, I don't think so.
You never know. Maybe it was.
Yeah, maybe. I lost after a tie break last week. Remember, it was two.
It was a classic, to be fair. Yeah, that
have you played one and lost one?
Yes.
Yeah, bad record.
Which is why I'm quite happy if you do it tonight. Quite happy if you do it.
We're still waiting on that phone call coming through. I must say, we're at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Listen, there's no rules against this. Douglas and Dennison, who called up earlier to make a point, wants the phone back in and play Beat the Pundit. Don't mind that. Douglas, thank you for rejoining us.
Yeah, no worries, guys. No worries.
Did you just get a wee flavour for it, being on air and really liked it and thought you'd come back on for Beat the Pundit? Good man, right. I'll toss the coin. Hedger up against Stephen Tails. It's Gordon. Stephen, I'm afraid it's
come on.
Come on,
two.
Up against Douglas from Denison. Let me give Stephen a bit of Clyde too. Make sure he can't hear what we are saying. And we'll get your clock up and running. Douglas, you've got 30 seconds head to head. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Who is the current manager of Falkirk?
Peter Houston.
Who was the Rangers' last top scorer before Alfredo Morelos arrived?
Kenny Miller.
How many Scottish teams has Chris Burke played for?
Three.
What year did Scotland win the Kirin Cup?
No idea, pass.
Which English team is Kilmarnock's Daniel Bachman on loan from?
Pass.
What Scottish club did Bournemouth's Ryan Fraser play for?
Aberdeen.
Okay. Stephen, you ready?
As I'll ever be.
Same set of questions to you, shall we?
Okay.
Who is the current manager of Falkirk? He's hit a blank.
Ray McKinnon.
Who is Rangers' last top scorer before Alfredo Morelos arrived?
Hurry up.
You can pass.
Pass.
How many Scottish teams has Chris Burke played for?
Two.
What year did Scotland win the Kirin Cup?
2006.
Which English team is Kilmarnock's Daniel Bachman on loan from? That is a tough one.
That's a tough one. I know that. Pass.
Right, okay. You've heard the competition, Douglas.
Brentford, I go for Brentford.
What do you think?
I think he's won.
He says, let's find out. Who is the current manager of Falkirk? It is Ray McKinnon. So well done. Stephen goes 1-0 in front. Who is Rangers' last top scorer before Alfredo Morelos arrived?
I have no idea.
Martin Waghorn.
Oh, I forgot about him.
How many Scottish teams has Chris Burke played for? It's three. Rangers, Ross County, Kilmarnock. Douglas got that, so he equalises. Stephen then goes back in front because the Kirin Cup was 2006. Were you there?
I was there, and my children were born the same week.
Oh, listen, so if you'd forgot that, we'd be in trouble if you'd forgotten that one. So 2-1 to Stephen. Daniel Backman's on loan from
Watford.
It is Watford. I didn't expect you to know that one. None of you got that right. So Stephen's still in front. And what Scottish club did Bournemouth Ryan Fraser play for? You didn't get that far. Douglas was a bit quicker. He got Aberdeen just in time. For the second week in a row, you're going to a tiebreaker. You've got a real knack for this. So
and can you do the tiebreaker within 30 minutes?
Right, Douglas, here's the deal on the tiebreaker. I'll read the question, I'll get Stephen to write his answer down, and I'll then invite you to give me your attempt. It's just like a penalty shootout, a lottery. You understand?
Okay. Yeah.
Good man. The question is this: how many goals have been scored in Old Firm games since Brendan Rodgers arrived at Celtic until now? So what are you, two and a half seasons? Yeah, between both teams. So how many goals have been scored in Old Firm games since Brendan Rodgers arrived at Celtic until now? Stephen, hold up your bit of paper, please. Okay, Douglas, what's your attempt?
I'm going to go for 25.
Oof, pretty close again. This happened last week. Luckily you're not identical. So Stephen's gone 21, Douglas has gone 25. Gordon, just out of curiosity,
23.
You're all miles out. 41.
Really?
Yeah. 2.5 seasons. So what are we looking at? Yeah. Remember Celtic gave it a couple of fives and fours. So Douglas, the same ball's on its way. Well done to you.
Brilliant,
yes.
Cheers guys.
Look, this is appalling.
I'd just like to see he's bankrupting this place with signed balls.
See, stinking the place out.
There's a football analogy here. You know, talk about results over performances. Because to be honest, two tiebreakers, it's not that bad. But
he's lost. Played two, lost two
on the tiebreaker.
Listen, I'm amazed I've lost three out of the two. So bad.
There we go. Douglas has won himself a signed ball anyway. 41.
Well played, Douglas. Well played.
You're surprised by that, aren't you? 41.
Yeah, I'm very surprised by that, I must admit.
There we go. Anyway, 01419511025. Get your calls in. As always, after a game like Sunday's, we are looking back on all of the big talking points. Let's try a little bit and look ahead to tomorrow's football. Gordon dear, what's jumping out at you? What are you hoping for tomorrow?
What's jumping out at me? I think that obviously the league is won, Gordon. I think we'll all see that. Celtic 13 points, very comfortable. So I'm looking at, just before a split, at the bottom. It's very tight down there. Dundee sitting bottom of the league, go to St Johnstone, difficult game. St Mirren, can they get anything against Celtic at home?
The first game,
yes,
Corey Kenny had.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, and that will give them a lot of confidence, whether they can or not. I don't think they can, but things happen. And then you've got Hamilton, who really need to bounce back after that thrashing against Livy. Aberdeen against an in-form Motherwell, they are playing some great stuff now, the young players.
You'll obviously be there as well, I'm sure, won't you?
I'm heading up to Pittodrie tomorrow, Gordon, yes.
As always.
I've got them support a team. And then big one on Sunday against Rangers at Fir Park, which is it's got to be a terrific week.
Some interesting things. I mean, Celtic obviously have no Deju Boyata, I'm assuming. Kieran Tierney, how's his fitness going to be? So they're going to be missing a couple of players. They look like they're walking on fumes right now. Rangers no left back. I think the interesting thing is, when are Celtic going to win the league? Because if Celtic beat St Mirren, if they beat Livingston at the weekend, it could feasibly happen if Rangers fail to win in the next two games. It could happen this weekend. If it doesn't happen, you then have the perennial SPFL headache.
Oh, great. Here we go.
Well, there we are. I mean, when did they play that last game? I was given all the kind of bad feeling going around, given all the rancour we're seeing right now. When do they play that last game at Ibrox? You know, there's a school of thought you do it early in the split. I think now you have to make it second last game of the season, unless Celtic tie up the league pretty quickly, which I would imagine for Ian Blair would be the best scenario.
And then we'll have the debate about Hassi. You've deliberately scheduled it so that Morelos is or isn't suspended, depending on which side of the argument you're on. That's all still to come.
Yeah, listen, that's what makes a programme, Gordon.
For St Mirren, Stephen, a huge win at the weekend. You can't understate the importance of that victory. Then, you know, the one of the toughest fixtures with Celtic coming. Having said that, they drew there against Celtic earlier on in the season. Is that a potentially tricky one for Celtic? I suppose they've got such a gap now that there's not that same
pressure.
Yeah,
but the gap can work both ways, can't it? Because I often think in these situations that teams defeat themselves, because subconsciously they know, they have it in their mind, whatever people say about mathematical permutations or what have you, they have it in their mind, the league is won. Therefore, I always think Celtic's biggest problems this season have been when they haven't really been under pressure. When they are under pressure in a big game, they're okay. By and large, they're okay. When the pressure goes off and when they think it's actually beginning to get quite easy, that's when mentally I think they switch off slightly. So, you know, yeah, on paper they should win it, but don't forget, you're getting to a point now where this is a really big game for St Mirren. It really matters. Massive for Oren Kearney. So, not going to be easy.
I think that I look at it the other way, Gordon. I look at Neil Lennon, for instance. I think he will be driving Celtic on there. Mm. When he took over from Brendan Rodgers, 8-point gap, it's now 13. For him to get into the board and really cement the job, he's saying, I'm increasing this gap all the time, so we're improving. So I think it's a big game for Celtic as well, and I think they'll respond to that. I don't think St Mirren will have enough. I think Celtic will have too much in the locker, and I think Celtic will win the game.
I go back to the point we made here last week as well, Gordon, and Neil Lennon actually referred to it this morning when he said that it's very difficult for him to be himself in the job just now, because he's like a stepdad taking on someone else's kids. You know, he's having to go in with Brendan Rodgers' team, he's having to nurse them, to guide them, but he can't really assert himself, because when push comes to shove, he is the interim manager. He's not a permanent man. And that makes it really difficult, I think, to really assert himself. Well,
And that's where I suppose that you've got the issue of that points gap from a Rangers perspective. You know, that certainly the feeling, at the very least after the 29th of December, some Rangers fans thought they could maybe go on and win it, but at the very least they thought, well, this is a sign that we're going to be close. 13 isn't close, but it could get, it can get better, it can get worse. That's why the points gap does actually become quite important.
Very much important. And that's why I said that Rangers have to get back to winning games. We said earlier in the show, and it's been glossed over, 3 out of 10. Wins out of the last 10 ain't good enough. They play Hearts tomorrow night. The gap's now 13. Rangers fans would have judged Rangers' season probably on the gap at the end of the season. If Rangers had that down to a 4, a 5, a 6, they'd be saying, yeah, it's been a good season, we've closed the gap, we're getting better. the gap's getting further away now, and Rangers have got a difficult game against Hearts, so they've got to start winning games.
Well, the worry is that the season fizzles out. It becomes an anticlimax. It just kind of burns itself out, and you know, it just becomes a real, real kind of disappointment. And I think for Steven Gerrard's point of view, he really can't afford to let them fall into that trap. Because let's face it, there's a rebuilding job. Some players will stay, some players will go. The ones who want to stay need to step it up in these last seven games.
For all we've discussed Rangers personnel issues ahead of tomorrow, Hearts are going to be without Ekpeatsu. Given the reliance they have on him at the moment, that seems like a huge blow for them, and in turn a huge boost for Rangers.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think he went down and his head hit the turf for the weekend, and I think the turf got concussion. You know, he's a big lad, and he is. I think he's huge. I mean, Stephen Naismith is really huge. We're talking about the stats for Hearts when Stephen Naismith plays. They're far higher when he plays than when he doesn't play. They're the win rate. And then you take Ekpeatsu out. I love watching the big guy. I think he's a joy to watch. A real character, a real cult player. A guy you love having in your team. If he's one of yours, a guy you absolutely hate coming up against if he's not. And you know what? I mean, the way you've been looking at Joe Waddle, the way he's been defended recently, would he fancy going up against Bigucci? I don't think so.
Let's speak to Paul in Crookston. He's a Rangers fan. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Pano. A couple of points. The point of Scott Brown and Morelos, I'm not defending Morelos. I've defended him enough. His boy needs to learn to grow up. He's a young man, and a lot of young boys take a bit of time to learn their trade. But if Mr. Brown doesn't do the silly thing that he does to Morelos, he wouldn't get a reaction. If he plays the game the way he's supposed to be, sportsman, that's not being sports, trying to get the boy sent off. The Celtic team even admit it, and they're still laughing after it. The way the tactics they made Scott Brown play. The second point is, when Brown goes up and starts shouting and bawling at all the rest of the Rangers supports, that could create a massive brawl. And he'd done it for two reasons. One reason, to take the shine off that Rangers came back and had a decent second half. They were rubbish in the first half. And when Morelos gets sent off, it seemed to fire the Rangers players up to try and do something with the 10 men they had left with. But the point I'm making is, if Brown doesn't do what he'd done to Morelos, he would not have got a reaction. The boy tried to be honest and stay on his feet after he got his heels clipped, and he just swung his arm. Brown dived down as if he'd been hit with a baseball bat across the face. He was hit in the chest. As I say, I'm not defending Morelos. You should be big enough to walk away from it. But it's hard when you're getting bullied all the time. See, when you're a bully at school, you get sorted out for it. They sorted the bully out, and that's all he is, and he's getting away with it. And the Scottish FA are letting him away with it. And the Celtic board and coaching staff are actually encouraging it when they're laughing at it. So it's a disgrace that gets away with it.
I asked one of the previous callers this, Paul, just on that point. So you say the Scottish FA are letting him get away with it. What punishment should he have got for what he did to Morelos' heel?
Well, number one, he should have been cautioned for at least a booking. You can't keep bullying the boy, because the boy will walk away from football if he can't get allowed to play. And if he's not getting protected, he's going to be a star player if he gets his temper sorted out. He's going to be a star player, whether it's in Scottish football or English football or any other foreign football. But you're stopping that boy if he tries to enjoy the game of football as a sportsman. Brown's not a sportsman. He's a bully, and he's getting away with it.
Paul, you can't blame the referee for not seeing it. If he doesn't see it, he can't book him. That's the problem. And, you know, it's a bit harsh to... I thought Bobby Madden didn't have the worst game in the world, actually. You know? I mean, it was a penalty claim early in the second half. But I don't think you can really blame the referee for not booking Brown if he doesn't see it. He doesn't rise in the back of his head. With regards to retrospective action, they'll have looked at that. They will have decided it's not serious enough to merit action. You know, that's the long and short of it.
See, I think the point that people are missing out, and you can look at both sides, Brown starting at the little niggle, Morelos. Now, Paul comes out with, we're going to drive this lad out of football because he's getting bullied. Absolute nonsense. I was at Ibrox on the 29th of December, and how Morelos stayed in the park was incredible. He certainly wasn't getting bullied that day. So he can give it as well as he can take it, but he's got to not react the way he reacted and let everybody down. Five red cards isn't coincidence.
Yeah.
He's disciplined very
well. Gordon.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something, Gordon?
Yeah.
Do you think Brown would have got away with that with John Gregg, Tommy Gemmell, Bobby Murdoch, Tom Forsyth?
Listen, I played against these guys, and I played against the hard guys like the Roy Aikins and all that at Celtic. And football then, Paul, was completely different, because the one thing you had in football at that time, and as a centre forward, I used to think, oh, just get it over with. You were always, that was my first tackle, ref. That was the statement. It was my first tackle, ref. Nowadays, with the cameras and everything, you would not get, these players would not get away with that. What would have happened with a Tom Forsyth, for instance, a John Gregor, whatever he may say? As I said earlier, they would have looked at Brown and said, OK, we'll wait till the next ball comes in for a 50-50 and we'll get in as strong as you guys in.
They wouldn't have lashed out and got sent off, is that what you're trying to say?
No, I think they would have waited for that ball to be there and then stamped their authority.
The other thing as well, Paul, is the last words Steven Gerrard would have said to Alfredo Morelos before he went out on the pitch was, Alfredo, not today, son. Keep the head. Don't let us down.
His fellow players, Jack, before the ball was kicked, you see it on the camera.
100%, yeah.
Stay calm. But you can't keep getting booted and deliberately try to get tripped up when he's not even involved in a tackle. He's running up the park trying to mind his own business, and Brown deliberately goes up and provokes him. So he should be disciplined for that as well. It's simple. He's not been a sportsman. He's been a bully. And one of these days, the bully's going to get a sore nose.
Paul, you started off by saying you weren't on to defend Alfredo Morelos. Would you forgive me for saying it sounds an awful lot like you're defending Alfredo Morelos?
Well, listen, I'm not defending him. The boy's got to learn the same as everybody else. He's got to learn to keep his head simple, keep his hands down. But sometimes it's very hard when you don't find well a team or an individual from a team and their coaching staff has set the boy out to deliberately wind the boy up.
See, I think that's where you are allowed to politely disagree. I don't think that is difficult. I don't think that is hard, because the reaction was way worse than the initial action from Scott Brown.
The other side too.
So is it really difficult? Paul says it's hard. If someone clips your heels, it's hard, in Paul's words, to not turn around and elbow them. No, it's not.
Well, because ultimately the point Steven Gerrard is making is he's letting down his team. He's letting down his teammates. He's going to spend games in the stand when he's not used to anybody. And the other side to this is, you know, listen, I'm not condoning Scott Brown, but he's not the first one who's done it this season. They're all at it. And maybe that goes back to Paul's point that he is a marked man. Yeah, there might be something in that. But, you know, unfortunately, the laws of the game dictate you cannot react.
The thing that I've got here is I like Morelos. I really do. Yeah. I hope he stays in Scotland. I don't think he will. But you just can't say that, oh, poor Morelos, he gets it all the time. As I said, I watched him against Celtic. And how he stayed in the park with some of the... He lashed out about two or three times. I was at young Ralston down the corner. Was terrible. So, I'm sorry, I'm not going to go down this road. Oh, poor Morelos. It's a man's game. He's got to man up and he's got to realise, listen, I've got a responsibility to the 800 fans that have paid to get in here and come and watch me. And I've got a responsibility to my teammates and my manager and the staff.
Thank you, Paul and Crookston. 0141 951 1025. Got an absolute stinker of a full-time teaser coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Stephen McGowan and Gordon DL are here. It's a really difficult full-time teaser tonight, and I know I always say that, but I do think this is quite tough. We've got between now and the end of the show for them to come up with the answers. The great thing is the question's been sent in by you, by someone out there. John sent tonight's question in. Name the 11 players who've scored for either Inverness or Ross County since 94-95, and have also scored for either Rangers or Celtic. So name the 11 players who've scored for either Inverness or Ross County since 94-95, and have also scored for either Celtic or Rangers at some point.
Brian Christie.
Yes.
Barry Robson.
Yes. So maybe it's not that tough. You're flying.
Right. Okay, Robson.
I feel a bit better about it now. Once you get a couple, I'm like, right, okay, we've not pitched it.
Not Jamie McCart. Not even scored for Celtic.
Nope.
No. Oh, the lad that's went to Hull. It played with Ross County, middle of the park, tall lad. He went to
Australian Phil.
Aye.
Don't worry about him.
Oh, it's not him.
I was going to say, no him. Don't
Jackson
you.
Irvine is the name.
No.
He didn't score for Celtic, no.
It was a great guess, was it not?
Not really, no.
No, okay. I was wrong, but...
Barry Robson, Ryan Christie, nine more. Remember, you can help us out at Clyde SSB on Twitter. I mean, don't get me wrong.
We had four by this time last week. Uh-huh. We had four by this time.
I would say there are a couple more definitely doable, and then you start to struggle.
I think we've started to struggle already. Thanks.
Yeah.
Play some music or something. Give us a chance.
There's one staring you right in the face.
Johnny Hayes.
That's the one that's staring you right in the face because he played at the weekend. So Johnny Hayes, Ryan Christie and Barry Robson. You've got eight to go. Let's speak to Callum and Solco. Hi Callum.
Hi guys, how are we doing?
Good, thanks. What's your point tonight?
Just about the all the chat about Scott Brown and how he conducted himself on Sunday. I think Scott Brown's conducted himself that way for the years he's been at Celtic. He's always been the same. And obviously he's taken the chance to get a kind of nibble from Morelos and Ryan Kent, and he's been quite clever in the way he's conducted himself and got that reaction that's ultimately cost Rangers on the day. But I think the problem with these instances during a game like that, we then forget to talk about the actual game of football.
I agree. On you go then, let's talk about it.
It was a fantastic game of football that could have went either way. Obviously, Celtic showed their class at the end just to obviously win the game. But just before Celtic scored, Ryan Jack was one kick away for winning the game for Rangers. So it could have went either way, really.
Yeah, I actually thought it was a really hard chance of Ryan Jack. I seem to be the only one who did. I mean,
I think it was a cutback.
It was slightly behind him in his left foot, just scooped over the bar. I don't think it was the sitter everybody's painting it to be. I thought it was a really hard chance. But, you know, I actually said to my colleague after Celtic scored the second goal, I said, this will finish 2-2 because Rangers were going for it. And then you saw the shot across goal with Scott being spilled. It was a brilliant ball from Christopher Ayer. And at that point, you're thinking, this is fantastic entertainment.
Yeah, and that's credit to Rangers for coming back in the second half, Gordon, because the first half was very, very comfortable for Celtic, and I don't think anyone would have expected the way the second half panned out.
Yeah, you're right, Gordon. First half, Edouard up front was causing all sorts of problems. Rangers were down to 10 men. Neil Lennon decided to make that substitute. Scott Sinclair could have really wrapped the game up after 5 minutes at half time. But then all of a sudden the belief, and you've got to give Rangers credit for this, the belief in the Rangers players, they decided, we were talking the first half about, you know, how they were giving the ball away so cheaply, they looked nervous. Second half, they looked a completely different side. I've got to give credit to the manager. He was very positive and he decided to go for it. And Celtic were all over the place. They were slack. They became the team that was giving the ball away cheaply. Rangers got encouragement, a terrific goal from Kent, you've got to say. And Stephen's right, I do agree with him there. I thought it was a difficult chance for Ryan Jack. And I think that if when Rangers had that little spell, if Rangers had scored, I don't know if Celtic would have come back from that.
And then James Forrest making quite a contribution, Stephen setting one up and scoring the winner.
Yeah, I mean, James Forrest, I think, is a decent contender for Player of the Year honours. I think Gordon makes a decent point, actually. I think actually in a funny kind of way, Celtic were better when they went down to 10 men as well. I think the best spell of the game for Rangers when it was 10 against 11. And then when Boyata went off and you're thinking, well, you know, should he be playing on? Should he be playing for the pain, Barry? But you have to remember with Boyata, he's off in the summer. He's thinking about himself. He's thinking, I've got a 50, 60, 70 grand contract at play here. So he goes off. And bizarrely, perversely, Celtic actually regain themselves and get better.
Have we maybe seen him for the last time in a Celtic jersey?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and I watched his reaction. I don't know if Stephen noticed it in the press box. When he went into the dugout, he nearly took the top of the dugout out.
Oh, really?
I don't know his hand's still in the one place. He was so disappointed, Gordon. And I think in his mind, not just the fact of leaving the field of play, I think that he thought, that's the last time I'll probably pull on a Celtic jersey.
That's another interesting one as well, Gordon, because Boyata's out now, could be out for the rest of the season. Benkovic is approaching fitness. But if you're Brendan Rodgers, what do you say to Philip Benkovic? Do you say, go and get a few games for Celtic to get yourself fit, or do you say, maybe not this season, son, come back for pre-season, we'll have a look at it.
Callum, what about between now and the end of the season then, Callum, as a Celtic fan, 13 points clear, is complacency the biggest enemy?
Well, I think the kind of main focus now is obviously the Scottish Cup. Obviously, we want to kind of continue on and kind of wrap the league up as soon as we can. I certainly didn't think the winter break that we would be 13 points clear at this stage. I thought it would be a lot closer. But it maybe allows us to relax a little bit and go into the Scottish Cup semi-final and hopefully get to another final and get the treble. But just on the actual game on Sunday as well, I think from a Rangers perspective, if they wanted to get a point from that game, I think they probably could have. But I think they had to go for it and get the 3 points, because ultimately a point for them wasn't good enough, because then it would have still been 10 points. So I think the position that they found themselves in that game, in such a game, especially at Celtic Park, usually Rangers would be quite happy with a point, and certainly playing with 10 men for most of the game, they would have been, but they had to go for it. So
yeah, I think Steven Gerrard after the game, Gordon, talking about that desire from Joe Worrall. He wanted Joe, and I'm being a bit loose with the quote here, but he wanted Joe Worrall to send Christopher Ayer into the back of the net with the ball. He wanted that desire to get there and score that goal.
Yeah, he wanted the same desire as Ayer had keeping the ball out the net, Gordon. He's a centre back, so I'm going to give him a bit of slack for that. I think a good centre forward would have went and really committed himself there to that. Joe Worrall's not used to scoring goals. He's supposed to be the other end defending them. I thought Rangers played a big part in that. I thought they caused Celtic a lot of problems. Celtic, I don't think, expected it second half. I thought you go to Celtic Park, you're down to 10 men, you're 1-0 down. Sometimes managers would say, look, damage limitation here. We'll sit everybody behind the ball and try and make it very difficult, look for a set play, whatever. Steven Gerrard, to his credit, decided nope. He kept Candeas and Kent up. He played three in the middle of the park and decided, right, we'll just go and work as hard as we can. The two fullbacks were going up and down the pitch. I thought Rangers played a massive part in a good game on Sunday.
And this is where this debate about Rangers will continue, Stephen, because if you're just using your eyes, most people feel as if Rangers have definitely improved, definitely from last season, and they feel like they're capable of so much more. Certainly the counter argument comes with this points gap, especially if it grows.
I think I agree with you. I think if you look at Rangers, they are dominating games in a way they didn't do. You didn't see that second half performance under Pedro Caixinha. You didn't see it under Mark Warburton. It was aggressive. It looked like a Rangers team to me. But the problem is the stats are not backing it up, and I think that comes down to the final third. I think it comes down to a lack of creativity. They don't have a conventional number 10. I think the hope was Stephen Davis would do that job, but a bit of a disappointment so far. You know, they're relying on Ryan Kent, and they're certainly relying on Alfredo Morelos. So, you know, they really need to get the balance of the squad right. They need more backup for the Candeas on the right wing. They need a central midfielder who can really dictate play, make creative plays, and they need a striker who, if Morelos is going, can replace him.
Stephen, I know what you're saying, and Steven Gerrard will want more quality in there. The signings of Lafferty, big signing. Davis, big signing. Defoe hasn't worked just now. And you can argue that Defoe and that's not...
When you say big signing, do you mean in terms of their reputation?
Yeah, too many in general haven't worked.
Yeah, but you were talking about a lot of positions. For me personally, and it's only my opinion, I don't think Rangers can win anything with the back four they've got. I don't think they're good enough. Tavernier is brilliant at going forward, so you need people that can defend. I don't think the centre-halves are the greatest, and I don't think the full-backs are greatest either defending.
It's time to own up. I mean, I could pretend that the show really is that slick, but when I picked this question out tonight, I totally forgot that the Highland Derby was in fact on this evening. It's Inverness 1, Ross County 1, if you're interested. Josh Mullen putting Ross County in front, Carol Tremarco equalising. We've got Ayr against Morton, Queen of the South Falkirk to come a bit later on. So the question tonight is, name 11 players who've scored for either Inverness or Ross County since 94-95, and have also scored for either Celtic or Rangers. Great response to this on Twitter. What have you two got?
I'm going to throw in Ian Black, must be one.
Yep.
Richard Foster?
Oh, no.
No?
Oh, no.
Nope.
Okay, what about Gary McKay-Steven?
Brilliant.
No.
What?
No. Armstrong?
No.
I'm just conscious.
Yeah, he is from Inverness.
I know he's from
he
there,
started
but,
as a kid.
Ian Black, Ryan Christie, Johnny Hayes, Barry Robson, you've got so far.
Did Chris Burton play up there?
Well, you only have to think back to beat the pundit half an hour ago. How many clubs has Chris Burke played for?
Yes, well done.
Who was
Stephen
the third one?
Never got that.
Ross County.
That's a surprise.
Yeah. Ross County. Right, that's good. We'll leave that there. Ian Black, Chris Burke, Ryan Christie, Johnny Hayes, Barry Robson. See if you're doing not too bad. Let's speak to Alec on the line. Hi, Alec.
Hi, lads. How are we doing?
Good, thanks, Alec.
Just two quick points. First one, the last Rangers caller that was on, what was his name again?
Now you're asking with so many. Gordon, right, Paul.
Anyway,
yeah, Paul,
just
it was
the last
Paul.
One. Paul. Paul. Right. He must have said the word bully about five or six times. And listening to it, it was sounding to me when he was saying that he's going to end up getting a thumping. To be quite honest with you, I wasn't liking his tone. And I've seen people get cut off this show for less. So I was really surprised, Gordon, that you let him carry on.
Sorry, I surprised you, Alec.
Right, well, like I say, he kept on referring to him getting a thumping. Right, now I'm not liking that kind of tone after chap. Anyway, for one man...
See, for what it's worth, Alec, I had a quick look at Twitter and the rest of your Celtic fans loved that call, but carry on.
Right, for one man to have so much dominance over 11 other players, and for their leader, Mr. Gerrard, to say that he would have done the exact same of what Halliday done. Now, when you lead, you must lead for the top. But for him to say that he would have ran 30 yards to do the same thing that Halliday done, they have got a massive disciplinary issues. Celtic were calm on Sunday. Scott Brown, this is what he lives for. In December, I'm not going to put my horns up. I thought that the guy was sort of a finished. He was totally dominated with Rangers. We get ran here. He was just come back from an injury. But the way he showed up on Sunday, he was strutting about that field like a 21-year-old. And, you know, he just totally dominated it. And I thought that Christopher Ayer, I've liked the boy. I've liked him when he comes out. But seeing Sunday, he was like, I say to the boy who took the call, he was like a warrior. Now, we're talking about that last-ditch tackle. I seen the reaction that Ayer did live in real time, and you seen every vein in his neck, and that's how much it meant to the boy. And that's what he is. He's a boy.
Is that what Celtic can hope to build the defence around next season if Benkovic and Boyata aren't going to... Well, in fact, they're not going to be there, let's be honest. Ayer will be. Is he... At this moment in time, does he look like he's number one choice and it's about finding someone to go alongside him?
Well, it's not so long since you couldn't have imagined Christopher Ayer being spoken about in these terms. You know, Brendan Rodgers was incredibly reluctant to play him in the first place. He almost came in by default because of injuries during Champions League qualifiers. So he's really grown as a footballer. He's an intelligent kid. I don't see why you would be looking to tie him down in a big contract, because apart from anything else, if he keeps developing at his current rate, he could be worth a few quid at some point. With regards to the caller's point about Scott Brown, I think the thing with Scott Brown is, it's an old cliche, if he's in your team, you love him. If he's in the opposition, you despise him. And that really is where we're at the moment. There's a lot of people really intensely dislike Scott Brown, and sometimes that's clouding the judgment.
Yeah, I think Steven Gerrard would love a Scott Brown type in his team. I agree with the caller. I think that a lot of Celtic fans had sort of, after the 29th of December, thought, yeah, he's losing what he had, his influence in the game. He'd probably won his worst Celtic Rangers games out of the 35, and a lot of people doubted him. But you've got to say, strength of character, he's a leader, the players respect him, they love him being on that pitch. And he's a very good football player as well.
Ross County have retaken the lead. Ross Draper has scored with a header. Is he one on the teaser?
No.
Of course he's not.
No, no.
You've got Ian Black, Chris Burke, Ryan Christie, Johnny Hayes, Barry Robson.
Struggling big time.
Alright, I'll give you some thinking time, and then we'll speak to Stuart, who's a Rangers fan, next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Inverness Cali Thistle 1, Ross County 2 at the moment, and even we can make that relevant to our largely Glasgow audience, because tonight's question: name the 11 players who've scored for either Inverness or Ross County since 94-95 and have also scored for Celtic or Rangers. The guys are doing okay. They've got Ian Black, Chris Burke, Ryan Christie, Johnny Hayes and Barry Robson. Stephen McGowan, any more?
Try Billy King.
Yes, Billy King is one. I'll cross that off. Gordon Dale.
Well, I've produced as usual.
Have you?
Gary McSweegen.
Mick who?
McSweegen.
Yeah.
Easy for you, easy.
Was that McSweegen at first?
I probably was, right, yeah. Okay.
Gary McSweegen, yep.
And I'm going to try and produce one here.
Is this a high risk one?
This is a high
risk
one.
Is that a drum roll?
This is one we usually wait for the tune to come on.
No, it's not.
Charlie Adam.
Yes.
Oh,
I hate
genius.
It when you get the difficult ones.
Thank you.
Charlie Adam, Ian Black.
Actually, a handshake.
Chris Burke, Ryan Christie, Johnny Hayes, Billy King, Gary McSweegan, Barry Robson. So that means you've only got three to get and plenty of time to get them. Plenty of time. Let's speak to Stuart in Coatbridge, who's a Rangers fan. Hi, Stuart.
Good evening, panel. I'd like to put this point to Gordon. Gordon, I've been a Rangers fan for over 35 years, right? What I've seen on Sunday, I thought Rangers were okay, right? Mm-hmm. I think we're okay. I don't think they're far behind Celtic, but my point is, right, I've got a lot of good contacts maybe with Glasgow Rangers, right? good friends. They're going to get a big budget, and it's coming, say, down south.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so the budget is over 30 million, right? The budget will be over 30 million. Kent will be signed by the middle of May, or maybe before that, right? He'll be signed.
Is this to spend on players, Stuart, or is that like footballing budget, i.e. taking wages into account?
Wages, well, the highest paid player at Ibrox is Defoe, is on 65 grand a week. And if he doesn't play 65, he does play 85, right?
Sorry, Rangers are paying 65 grand a week.
Rangers don't pay all that, sure, do they?
Yep.
No, they don't.
I can tell you right now, but I can't tell you who's paying the wages because I'm not allowed to say it, because I know for a fact that it's definitely true. If you look up your facts on Google, it'll tell you. Ooh, what's going on.
I feel honoured that you're sharing this inside info with us, Stuart. Right, so carry on. What are the other plans for next season?
Right, they're definitely going to bring in about 6 or 7 players, right? The other side, right, Celtic side, right, they're going to have to get a lot more. They're going to have to get a lot off the book, right? So you take it, right? So Rangers, right, I would say Rangers are only less than 3 points away for winning the title, right?
What do you mean, sorry?
Three points, right? I would say they're less than 3 points. You take it, you look at all the games all over the season, how many times have Rangers slipped up to weak teams?
No, of course, but then I thought everyone sort of agreed, Stuart, that the league table doesn't lie. I mean, it's 13 points, regardless of how they came about, surely.
Aye, but what I think is going to happen, Rangers will sign 4 or 5 players or more, right? But I still think, my honest opinion, next season, Rangers will win it. And if Celtic keep Neil Lennon, they won't win the league. Because if you look, see the Sky Sports build-up, Lennon was asked a certain question about Kieran Tierney, which I feel sorry for, right? They asked him, is he fit? He couldn't answer the question. And what happened? What happened in the game? He was injured.
Have you got any more big names that are coming in, Stuart, seeing you know the information?
Well, I think there's going to be somebody from Nottingham Forest, another one. I've been right a lot of times, but mm-hmm. I think there's a big name going to come.
From Nottingham Forest?
I still think, another name, but the boy sent to Motherwell, young boy, he's a good prospect.
Hasty.
I don't think that's happening.
That deal's off, Stuart, by the looks of it. You need to get back onto those sources.
I heard it's on and it's on and it's on, it's off and it's on, which you always hear. But I think Rangers will make a big major signing, and I think it'll come the first week just before the transfer is going to open. I think it'll come.
Well, where to start? I don't know. But listen, I think what we can all agree on is that Rangers will need to do something. Will need to recruit wisely. I couldn't possibly comment on Stuart's secret information.
If you're looking at the targets that have been linked with so far, Jake Hastie, I don't think it will happen now. Greg Stewart. There's been a bit of talk of Graham Shinney. I don't know if that one will happen either, but they need to go for a higher level of signing. The signings do need to improve, because too many of the signings made under Steven Gerrard, with the assistance of Mark Allen, the director of football, haven't quite cut the mustard. So, you know, you have to hope Stuart is right. And let's face it, football's all about hope. If you don't have hope, if you don't have optimism, you don't have anything. So
the biggest surprise for me, and I'm not doubting Stuart because he's got the information.
Yes, you are. I can see it in your face.
The Rangers are paying Defoe 65,000.
They're not.
When he's not playing, and 85,000 when he is playing. I find that incredible. I don't know. I don't want to doubt Stuart. And then 30 million, that will be music to every Rangers fan.
64-65 grand is his basic wage at Bournemouth. That's not what Rangers are paying.
Stuart, I'm fascinated about your confidence on Ryan Kent. So you're sure he's going to be signed up soon?
Yep. Yes, I was right. I've been right about a lot of things on this. But I'm going to ask Gordon this question, and I think he'll be able to answer it. Gordon, do you think, and I've got 150%, I think Rangers have won the league next season before I started about it.
150%, he says, Gordon. You buy it?
It depends on Celtic. I'll need to turn over a few players. Obviously, they've got a rebuilding. Who will be the manager as well is obviously coming into question. Who Rangers are going to sign? So it's very difficult, Stuart. We all tend to make an opinion, I guess, at the beginning of the season. And
yeah, we're not ready to predict next season's title.
You don't know the players, Gordon. You don't know the managers.
Yeah, but Gordon, I think Stuart unintentionally touches on a reasonable point about Celtic, which is that Neil Lennon said this morning, this is the biggest rebuilding job since 2005. He's not wrong. You've got Boyata going, you've got Benkovic going, you have a raft of players who are going to be getting out. The loan players they signed in January won't be there anymore. So it's a big rebuilding job, and as Gordon says, you don't know who the manager is. In this situation with Lee Congerton as well, the chief scout of Celtic at the moment, who we think might be going to Leicester City, might not be. They should just get on with it because time is passing and there's £30 million in the line.
I'm going to phone you back, Stuart, if Ryan Kent doesn't sign. Is that all right?
That's all right, definitely.
Good man, I'll hold you to that. Stuart in Coatbridge, thank you. Still Inverness 1, Ross County 2. I think we've had a red card, actually.
Yeah, Inverness, I think, are down 10 men, Gordon.
It's just sort of the corner of my eye when we were dealing with some other stuff there. I'll tell you what, let's quickly hear from Chris Cadden. Mother's Chris Cadden's been speaking today. I wanted to do it a bit earlier on, but there we go. 2 days after Celtic play Rangers, he's delighted to be back in action for Motherwell after a tough few months recovering from a knee injury. Came off the bench in Saturday's 3-0 win against St Johnstone, his first appearance since the 7-1 thrashing by Rangers in November.
It's been a long sort of 4 months out, and it's been difficult for me, but hopefully that's me back now, and I'll be back in about things. It was a tough time, and the physio's here, David Henderson's been brilliant to me, everybody about the club's been brilliant to me, and the gaffer, no pressure on me rushing back, made sure the knee was right, and so there was no pressure on that sense, and obviously the people in my personal life, my mum, dad, brother, things like that have been absolutely brilliant to me and really helped me through, and I couldn't have done it without them, so no, I really appreciate what they've done for us, and hopefully I can reward them. So I've been loving it, watching them since sort of the turn of the year. They've been absolutely brilliant. Also be Jake and Tumbo and Cal and Al, sorry, coming through, and obviously Al's been there, but no, they've been brilliant. Real credit to the sale, and I know how hard they've worked as well, being sort of in about them from a young age, and for me to get a chance and take it, it's been brilliant, and no, I've really loved it, and the way the boys are playing as well.
Gordon, we could well find out the final top six tomorrow night. Is it too little too late for your beloved Motherwell?
Yeah, Gordon, I think it is. We go to Pittodrie tomorrow night. It's always a difficult game, but Aberdeen haven't been great at home this season, and you've got to say Motherwell are playing some terrific stuff, and their young boys are certainly rising to the challenge.
We're going to have to leave it there because you've still got three to get on this teaser. 11 players have scored for either Inverness or Ross County since 94-95, and have also scored for Celtic or Rangers. Charlie Adam, Ian Black, Chris Burke, Ryan Christie, Johnny Hayes, Billy King, Gary McSwiggan, Barry Robson. I knew these would be the last three because they're the hardest for sure.
You need to give us a wee bit, some clues going. Clue time.
Right, we're going back a bit. One of these guys is the exact same age as you, pretty much, Gordon Dale. So right in your era.
What age are you, Gordon?
50.
7.
Yeah.
He played for Inverness in the 94, so we're way back to that point. And Rangers, he played for Rangers 78 to 86. So that's bang smack in your time, is it not?
78 to 86. Hold on a minute.
It's not you, is it?
No, I was going to say. He played for who? Inverness?
Yep.
It wasn't Billy Urquhart.
Nope.
John Gregg signed.
He also played for Barnsley, I think.
Come on, Stephen.
I'm going to have to give you that one then, because I thought you would get it. GM.
GM?
G.
J.
John McGregor.
Mick. McDonald.
McDonald. Ah, played with John McDonald.
Right, this one is tough. Celtic in the mid to late 90s and then Ross County early 2000s. Also played for Dundee United and St Johnstone and even went to Cyprus.
Oh, is it Rocco Quinn?
No. DH are the initials. It's a tough one.
David Hannah.
Yes, David Hannah. Geez. And the last one's the hardest, no doubt about it. I'll just go for initials. He played for Rangers 88 to 94. The initials SR.
Stephen Robertson, Stuart Robertson.
Robertson's right, actually.
Stuart, Stephen.
How would you describe a beach?
Sandy Robertson.
Thank you, Stephen McGowan and Gordon Dalziel. We are back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Please join us. Callum Gallagher is up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.